A character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is Kevin. On the other line is Mr. Dusty Giebink. How you doing, Dusty?
Hello, I am doing very well, thank you. Oh, my dog is squeaking. She doesn't like that I'm talking to someone else. So I will try to soldier through.
Oh, well, yeah, of course one of mine did just get up and start looking out the window at something, surely ready to bark at whatever vehicle comes passing through the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. They're really vigilant about that. You need to know every car that moves ever. So.
Normally when they get into sleep mode, they're pretty much down for the night unless it makes extra racket.
Gotcha.
But, no, he's decided to get up and woke the other one up at the same time. Fantastic.
Every now and then we get, like, these motorcycles past us that are just like, you know? Like, just the loudest, noisiest, you know, kind of thing. So, that's always fun.
Always hate motorcycles because that really does bring out the worst in them.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We were talking about the Olympics. You had something working there.
Well, I was just getting ready to put the dummy post in. And I realized why I just had a Ring of Honor call and just sitting around doing a whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Ring of Honor always comes last is one of the reasons.
Yes.
And B, I did have a column in mind before things kind of got derailed last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, that's part of this week, too, because we can get to the Olympics at some point. But
okay.
I, in the last two, from Monday until yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I did 950 miles in that time span in about two and a half days.
Mm.
We had to go back, or we had to go into Pennsylvania for my girlfriend's grandmother's funeral.
Okay.
And that was a lot of mileage, so I'm loopy from that a little bit still. I'm calling myself car lagged. I know it's not a real term.
Understood. Mm-hmm.
But, and having to, it was much cheaper to stay with her family, but it was also a heck of a way not to get any sleep.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Well, at least we had the base.
Never a good word. Yeah.
At least we had the basement ourselves, but We were told to bring an air mattress, and I would just like to say that air mattresses suck. They give you the illusion that you are going to be more comfortable than you would be just sleeping on the floor.
Absolutely.
So I've done it a handful of times, mostly at my parents, and my parents even have, like, those deep dish kind that are supposed to be closer to, like, the depth of a real, mattress.
Yeah.
This was like the foot to maybe 2 foot tall variety. With her and I sleeping on that, we, slowly deflated as the night went, so that did not help out.
Yeah.
And then I had to hit the facilities about 4 in the morning, and I about tossed her off the thing because the air completely shifted.
Oh, shit! Yeah.
It almost bounced her off of it.
Oh, no.
And then just to top things off, her uncle was up at 6 in the morning, and we were directly below the kitchen.
Yep.
And he made his kale and fruit shake, and... though it is, it was rather tasty. They at least saved some for me.
Sure.
It still woke me up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, right.
So
I was considering no less than 2 hours ago you had just gone back to bed.
And at a maximum, it was 6 hours of sleep. And then on top of that, her one aunt that we were, whom we were staying with, she is a small woman in stature, but she always has an outdoor voice.
Oh, yep.
She's not really bad or annoying or anything of the sort, but it is outdoor voice all the time.
Sure.
So she happened to get up around the same time, so that was call it quits for any idea of sleeping.
Right. Because at that point, it's over. It's just over with.
Yeah, exactly. You're just, you're toast. So it's just like, okay, so I got maybe 6 hours of sleep, which, granted, is kind of a regular amount of sleep for my person.
Okay.
But normally that's a straight thing. And I'm not being rudely woken up.
Right.
And I'm sleeping on a nice, nice mattress that is one of the few good things that my ex-wife left me.
Right. One of the useful things you got out of that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when it's comfortable and you can get a straight 6 hours, I'm good. But a broken up 6 hours, waking up countless times because the bed sucks.
Yeah, that's no kind of good.
So, little loopy from that. So that should add to the frivolity of our show here tonight.
Absolutely.
You were about to start it. We were talking about the Olympics.
Yeah, before we went on the air, we were chatting about the Olympics, and I made the comment that anybody who does the skeleton event is completely insane. So.
And I volunteered myself as being one of those persons that is that kind of insane.
That's interesting. I would have never pictured that.
I do enjoy doing... I don't tend to do things a lot, but I don't mind doing that kind of stuff. Like, the fear of what's going on ends up being outweighed by what the enjoyment level of something like that. Because, like, there's some times where some of the roller coasters I like to go on are kind of the same way. Like, I know that I kind of dread that build-up going up to the top of the hill, but to me, that downhill rush, it makes that dread worth it.
Interesting.
And
you're a veritable thrill seeker.
I don't do it all the time, but It is fun to do that stuff from time to time. And I also remember because Jeremy had made a comment the other week about it. He goes, it's glorified sledding.
Yeah.
Which...
Except it's not glorified. I don't glorify it. I do the opposite of glorify it in my head. Anyway.
I think a lot of people are in your wheelhouse and but I do remember, like, I recalled there was one specific one because he also mentioned, you know, I was like, well, we probably weren't doing 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, not that you know of. And it did make me immediately think about, there was this time when I was growing up, we lived on a hill. Because it's almost mandatory when you live in Altoona to do so. And we had a nice backyard, and we could go from the neighbor's backyard all the way down through our yard and into some woods that would be a little painful if you didn't bail shit before then.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And some people, unfortunately, did not always bail in time.
Right.
But there was one specific occasion that it had to have been at least a quarter inch thick sheet of ice on top of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And we had actually dug out holes with a stick. Like, we had to use the stick to walk up or else we'd slip down it.
Yeah.
And I remember doing snowboarding before there was such a thing as a snowboarding, and just going down that hill as fast as I could. And
sure.
I honestly don't know how fast I was going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was doing 60 still, but a 40 wouldn't have surprised me.
You sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I kind of did that thing when I was a kid. It would be kind of fun to still do it.
Mm, okay. Interesting. Well,
so,
that answers
yeah.
my question. What kind of person would do that? Well, now I know.
Yeah, well, and there's the other one that that my girlfriend, I keep on asking her if I can do it just to get the no response, really.
Yeah.
Because I always liked the idea of going down into one of those cages and shark-infested waters and wearing the chainmail suit.
Okay.
And she just completely shut down that idea in any way,
yeah.
shape, or form. I continue to ask. Because that's something that, at least skeleton, you do need some semblance of, like, keeping yourself on the track so that you really don't kill yourself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As long as the cage is working, the chainmail's working, you really should be pretty okay.
Right.
With that whole thing. Like, there really is a whole safety factor. I know that sharks are kind of scary, but
yeah.
to me, that's double safety, and I'm good with that. But she just
yeah.
is not gonna have any of that.
Yeah. And this is what Eric is finding out. The girl has veto power. She has the presidential pen, you know. So.
Yeah, well, luckily the veto power that I deal with is of a much less stronger orbitational pull than Eric's.
She's not making you write stupid tweets?
No.
Ridiculous Twitter posts? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, and I have completely dropped the ball on getting that together, of getting those daily tweets together so that we can properly mock them.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be something we do here.
That is a complete utter failure on our part to capitalize on what surely would be unmined gold.
Indeed. Every time I see one, I'm just like, that poor bastard, you know? That shell of a human being that I used to know.
Well, I feel like there were a couple of articles that I may have unearthed some of the stupidest comments that I have read in quite some time.
Okay.
Which is why I... what's the easiest one? Oh, this one to me is the fish in a barrel, actually. was Jay Lethal. The part in particular of this that rose to a high level of amusement for me was the fact that he seems to have felt like there is some remote possibility that CM Punk would ever come back to Ring of Honor to help boost its brand image.
Right, yeah.
Do you find it as laughable as I do?
Yes. It's sort of like... it would be like going back to high school, you know? Why would you ever do it? There's no reason to do it, you know? Like, Punk has graduated. That would literally be putting himself out, you know? Who would expect that?
Oh, man, yeah. No, I love that high school analogy because they always say, these are the days of your life.
No, they were the most miserable 4 years of my entire existence. I just, at the end of every day, I was like, man, if I had the guts, I'd kill myself. I can't take this shit. Every day was like that. I hated high school. And, yeah, I mean, kind of like every wrestler wants to be in WWE. I'm not saying Punk hated ROH, but, like, once you graduate from there, you ain't going back, you know?
Yeah, because, and I think that it's kind of funny because he also notes AJ Styles in there, how he came back.
Yeah.
But I feel like he, in some ways, is... just really a longer-term version of Jay Lethal himself.
Yep. Yep. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I don't know how many years... Oh, I could probably look that up because this kind of line of thought had popped up. Jay Lethal was there in TNA for long enough.
Yeah,
to be kind of considered, I mean, to me, even though I knew that he came from ROH, like, I felt like he was more of a TNA guy, because he was still, like, I believe it was 19 when he was in TNA.
Yeah, very young. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, yeah, he was in Ring of Honor for 3 years. And then he was in TNA for 6.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
05 to 011. Good gravy.
That act got so tired for me, man. Just so tired.
Well, I was one that always kept saying with him that he was being put in a bad position. They kept on making him do the Macho Man thing.
Right.
And now I have seen...
Okay. No, I was going to cut you off, and I was like, whoa, I'm talking right over. So,
well,
putting the brinks on my mouth there.
Oh shit. And now it's completely out of my mind.
No.
Oh yeah, it was me wanting him to get out of TNA. Well,
yeah, right.
I've now seen him for, you know, a little over 2 years, I think, in Ring of Honor.
Sure.
And I would imagine that he probably has a little more say over his character there than in TNA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any improvement.
Yeah, no, not really. Nothing significant, no. Very good point.
So, you know, it's just kind of like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
And to me,
I guess
I like AJ Styles more than Jay Lethal at this point.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But he still hasn't gone much anywhere.
No. No, another one spinning his wheels. Absolutely true.
So for him to compare AJ Styles, really, to CM Punk is just...
Oh, it's asinine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I just, I don't understand talking like that. I just really don't.
It's really sad what's happened to ROH over the years, and how, you know, how much worse it's gotten from its glory days, and why would Punk step into that, you know? And I guess you could argue, like, if you think you're the best, if you think you're a great wrestler, you can improve any situation, but I don't think so. Like, I don't think Punk would want to go to TNA either, you know?
Well, he would be probably crossing slightly more of a line if he went to TNA, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a much bigger line. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ROH one, I think, could be forgivable just because of the even smaller size of it.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know if he'd improve it. Like,
no.
If he's that and this is, I guess, part of the reason why I like doing the Thursday column sometimes,
sure.
Is that as bad as the WWE can screw up,
mm-hmm.
they still have the best booking department of
Perfect.
The three organizations.
Yep. Their product looks better, is generally better written, better presented, better production. It's just the best, even when it's not good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Right
so
now,
it,
you can't even say the other companies have better wrestling. They don't.
No. No, they don't.
I think there might be four people on ROH's roster right now that I would save from a fire. You know? Let everyone else burn. I mean, it's not a high percentage, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
What was that one point right before that?
What's that?
Oh, there was a small nugget from the point you previously made that I wanted to attach a point to.
Okay.
Oh, that's what it was, is that Punk, if he is being critical of, to me, I think if he's really upset about being angled to fight Hunter at WrestleMania.
Right.
And he thinks that's bad booking.
Yeah.
What's he going to think of wrestling anyone in ROH?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
you can do power play, marry the boss's daughter, and all those cards, and you still got to give Triple H way more credit than the Ring of Honor roster combined.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, to me, I would think it was an honor to be booked against Hunter because of how Hunter is perceived, you know, as the biggest name of the last more than a decade, you know. To be put up against him, you know, should be considered, I don't know, kind of an honor, you know.
It means yeah.
Highly of you.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's only so many people that can be in the main event, and they really tried to keep it a two-man affair for the most part. I know that there are, I think, two exceptions.
Sure.
To that. I believe there was a triple threat match, and I think there's one other, but... So, yeah, like... When you're given a spot against someone like Triple H, to me, yeah, you're getting one of the main event matches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can you complain? I don't understand complaining about that, you know? I don't get it. And like we've talked about, there are no better alternatives either, you know? So...
And you know, this is completely off topic, but it's still what we're talking about is I guess Jeremy and I talked about it a little bit today, but John Cena was mentioning that more people needed to step up on whatever, insert your podcast here. I'm not sure if it was Steve Austin's or the Jim Ross ones that are coming out or...
Okay.
It's one of those two. I think it was the Austin one.
Sure.
And there was some full context in that, and he included Daniel Bryan and CM Punk as, you know, kind of, not kind of being at the top, and them, and even for them to need new people to challenge.
Sure.
That's another one to me that I guess in the Punk trying to say disrespect category, if he can be, if Cena can still speak that highly of him after this situation's going down,
yeah,
he is obviously thought of very highly within the WWE.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're counting on him. He's one of their headline guys. So, I lost a lot of respect for him on this whiny crybaby stuff.
Yeah, after... yeah, I guess I didn't... I don't think I've gotten to say this, at least. Is that I think... because I said the first couple of weeks that I thought it was a word.
Right. Yeah,
it seemed to fit the angle perfectly, and as the weeks have gone on, it's become pretty clear that it isn't.
Right.
And yeah, it's just like I don't get it. Like,
right?
They really, really, really like you a lot, and yeah, whatever. You might not be battling for the title, but you do have some years left if you want to be in that title picture again. They will, in some ways, I could see them, I would love actually for them to do it long term, that would be have him and Daniel Bryan have something similar to Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even if they had a showdown for the title at WrestleMania, that to me would top the double celebration.
Sure.
That to me would be a lot of fun. And I mean, it's just to me, Brian. I don't have a if he doesn't end up going with after the title here this year.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that. Like he really did just start this within the last calendar year, I guess.
Right, that's right.
Because, and I can sneak back around to this news story.
Uh-oh.
Because fuck Jay Lethal, we don't need to talk about that schmuck anymore.
I'm done, yeah. Done.
The Daniel Bryan Yes Chant article in USA Today.
Ah, yes, I saw that. Mm-hmm.
what was that for?
Well, you went, heh. Like, we both know the only reason I saw it is because you linked it to me.
Oh. Oh, Jesus. Okie dokie.
I'm busy watching Yakky Doodle cartoons from 1961. I don't pay attention to anything. That's why we keep you around, so.
Well, I think he did mention that it was that in the article is March 28th, I believe, was when he said he started doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right after WrestleMania. Right before WrestleMania.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that ties back to the John Cena thing too. Like, I guess I was surprised that Daniel Bryan was on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the short duration of yet uncrowned kind of champion.
Right.
But, I guess I was a little surprised that Brian was in there, even though stuff like this is happening to him.
Oh, yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, no, and I had, I guess I didn't realize how many different teams were doing this. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, I had no idea it was this rampant. That's really cool to see. He's really catching on.
Yeah, so, oh, man.
What's that?
Well, and I guess that one doesn't really, I guess we don't really need to take that one anywhere.
Well, I was going to say, like, I started watching wrestling. Because I turned the TV on and Roddy Piper reached through the TV screen and grabbed me with his charisma, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Daniel Bryan is that guy now. He has this chant that's catching on. He has this sort of charisma and likability. Maybe he is the new Roddy Piper, you know, without being anything really like Piper. You know, just in general, the kind of guy that's going to inspire a whole new generation of wrestling fans. He's different and exciting, and the fact that this is catching on is really cool. Maybe, you know, like I said, maybe kids are going to, you know, hey, what's on? Oh, let's check out wrestling. And he's on the screen, and they're like, you know, whoa, I got to chant yes, you know. So...
yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, no, and I think that is helping out. The in-ring work helps him out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of funny. I was thinking on, too, I did watch SmackDown. But
yeah.
the The Miz finally had a match.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have talked about it, Jeremy and I have talked about it, but we're talking about all the athleticism within the WWE these days.
Absolutely.
And all the abundance of good wrestlers. And I watched The Miz in a match.
Mm-hmm.
And he has improved from when he came in there.
Okay.
Well, but that's where it stops.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is not even in any of the people's neighborhoods that we've been talking about.
He sticks out like a sore thumb because he's so far behind everyone else. Well, not everyone else, but, you know, a lot of people. And he just lags behind and drags it down.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like amateur hour watching him try to compete with all these great wrestlers. Or, you know, not even great wrestlers, but just they bring something special to the table. Like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and John Cena with his whatever he's got, and, you know. And then there's Miz, and it's like, oh, man, this guy, yeah, he's the sore thumb of wrestling. That's a very good point.
Yeah, well, and then even if you look at someone like Randy Orton,
mm-hmm.
they would not have put him on television now for 5 consecutive events
mm-hmm.
in 15-plus minute matches. If he couldn't keep up with that kind of athleticism, especially since he was competing against it many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, you don't necessarily need to be pulling out the Roman Reigns moveset or even the Daniel Bryan moveset.
Exactly. Yeah. But you have to be special in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And The Miz isn't that. He's not special at anything. Especially
no.
in the face. Yeah.
For all of his talking, which kind of got him into the position that he's in,
mm-hmm.
Wow, I almost missed the days of The Miz and Morrison doing their video reviews.
Yeah. Can we admit now that Morrison was leading that team? Is that okay to say now? Like, Morrison was so much farther advanced than him. Can we talk about that now? I miss that guy.
Because
you want to talk about improving over time, that guy improved more than anyone ever. He started out as the worst wrestler I've ever seen in OVW. And turned into something, you know, way presentable. So I miss that guy.
And he could have kept up with some of these guys if he had refined his moveset. I think his choice of moves...
was bad, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to show off... And I guess, you know, that's another point I haven't thought about with these guys recently, is that they're not trying to overdo it.
That is one of my biggest complaints about wrestling. That is a very good point. All these guys doing, like, quadruple jumps and double flips and all that shit. Yeah. Yeah, I hate that stuff. Very good point.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, Morrison is one, and I guess the only guy on the roster who I definitely talked about, at least his jumping ability, Kofi Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
Their
favorite wrestler. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has the ability to kind of be able to do that.
Sure.
But, you know, he doesn't, I guess in some ways, well, I guess what I'm saying is that he's not harnessing that into more of that kind of potential that, you know, Reigns or Luke Harper.
Right.
Hell, even Ryback, if you want to throw his clumsy ass in there.
Yeah, no, Reigns is a good example. Reigns completely blew past Kofi in terms of development.
And I think Kofi's on the roster because of, because he still has that, I guess, but
yep.
The Miz doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, if they do a roster cut, don't you think The Miz has to be considered?
Yeah.
You know, don't they always kind of get rid of middle guys who've been around a while and they don't really have ideas for anymore? Maybe The Miz is that guy.
That's funny how true that point is.
Mm-hmm.
About them,
the middle guys, yeah.
Of getting rid of the middle guys, because you always end up going, wow, how did Funaki survive the latest round of cuts?
Right. Meanwhile, five guys who were two tiers above him just got fired. He keeps his job, yeah. Like, okay. That's interesting.
Oh, man, that is a fantastic observation.
Thank you. They love those bottom guys, you know. Like Yoshitatsu is figured in for life, you know.
Yeah, he gets to train all of the wrestlers coming up through NXT now.
Right.
John Cena is the hurdle for the main event on the main roster. Yoshitatsu gets to do it for everyone in NXT.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's right. Plus, he offers clean urine. I don't know why I'm pointing that out.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, the Miz can really, really get the axe.
I'm calling it right now, because if I'm right, everybody will be like, whoa, Dusty called it. And if I'm wrong, everybody will just be like, whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and put myself on the record with that when Miz is gone this year. So.
Well, he got his prize in Maurice, so he can go ahead and...
Is that a prize? She is a burger.
Oh, man. Yeah, I never watched that show enough to get that reference, so it's a good thing that you sent that out the one time for a refresher course.
Oh, yeah, Theo and Cockroach would just call any girl they considered attractive, they would call her a burger. And I don't know if that was a thing in the 80s or if it was just like a Cosby Show in joke, but I love it, and I still use it. And Maurice is a burger.
Yes.
Oh, my God, is she a burger.
Yeah, no, I miss her a good deal on the Divas stage.
Indeed.
But, what are you going to do?
Right.
Because that is certainly one division that they haven't worried about really in any way, shape, or form.
No, not in a long time.
And poor the poor one woman that has athleticism in that ends up being accidentally kneed in the face during a match.
Yeah.
Well, Naomi, hopefully you come back.
Yes.
I guess this is it. Well, oh, there we go. Perfect. There's one guy really recently that was cut.
Okay.
And To me, he is in that area of The Miz, in that he couldn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is now Ethan Carter III.
Yes, indeed. Now, that's a kind of a gimmick to fall into, you know. All things considered, that worked out pretty well for him.
Yes. When you get that kind of a spot... you should capitalize on it.
That's right. Yep.
And thus far, he has failed miserably at doing so.
Absolutely. Because he stinks. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I kind of, I guess in some ways, I'd always wanted to see him come up on the WWE roster since he'd originally been in Pro Wrestling Ohio.
Sure, yeah.
But I can definitely see why they decided to say sayonara.
Whoa, multicultural, Kevin. Yeah.
Well, I just watched the Japanese skater dance, so I figured I may as well bust it out.
Right on. Yeah, I used to watch ice skating all the time. I really did. Not just in the Olympics, there'd be like specials on NBC, and I would watch those. So there's a little peek into Dusty's childhood for you. But yeah, The Miz is a good example. That's exactly it. He's just a notch behind everybody and doesn't really stand out in any you know, one area, no area of expertise. And he fell into such a good gimmick, even though it is TNA, but you're right, he never capitalized on it because he's just not that great at anything. Rockstar Spud is really standing out lately, you know? That's the guy who broke out in TNA, you know? Not even.
See, I can't even get into him, really.
Yeah, oh, I understand. I get it.
I guess he is doing a better job.
Like being the prettiest waitress at Denny's, you know? I've heard that before. Where have I heard that? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But EC3 there, to me, also, there was just such ridiculousness.
Yeah.
But the line that really killed me was what happened with NXT and the WWE.
Okay.
And the part that got me was, if you're not somebody's guy, then you're not the guy.
Right? That sounds a lot like the Kevin Durant quote recently. I want to be called the servant because I serve people, you know? Like, all these athletes are such rocket scientists.
Well, that's what makes it easy to talk about them.
I love when they make my job easy. Absolutely. If you're not the guy, you're not the guy. Hmm. That's profound.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was the guy because he couldn't compete athletically or mic-wise.
Yes.
With Xavier Woods, you know what? I'm going to reach down to the about as bottom of the totem pole as I can see in the WWE right now for fresh young guys.
Okay. Yep.
And to me, that'd be Xavier Woods. He gets the tag team with R-Truth, which, hey, you're not going to ever say no to that opportunity.
Absolutely not. You're going to take a spot every time. Absolutely. But he is the bottom of the barrel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he, EC3 can't do it
right.
speaking as well as Woods, and he can't do it in the ring as well.
Right, exactly. So, like, what use do they have for him? You know?
Yeah.
Like, they can't give every guy a spot, you know? Like, you've got to do something to earn it. So, yeah.
Yeah, which did crack me up that, that you know, well, and you've said it really a couple of times already, is that he fell into a gimmick that really should be positioning him as a big star.
Exactly.
I think that's the proper way to say it.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like, to me, it just hasn't clicked. Like,
right.
I don't know if that rich guy gimmick is dead for me.
Yeah, maybe.
Just because, like, him and, like, Del Rio never really did it for me.
Sure.
I guess JBL is the last guy to do it well.
Do you think he did it so well that just they don't compete with him? Is that it?
I think that they were closer to the million, that they both try to portray something closer to the Million Dollar Man.
Okay, yep.
Than to JBL.
Sure.
And maybe that's what made JBL better, was that
he put his own twist on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Totally with
it. And neither of those guys seem to be able to put, like, their own twist. It's just kind of lifted gimmick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd
so,
be like where WWF would make up these characters, just these generic characters, and slap people into them. Like calling Steve Austin the Ringmaster, you know, even though that has nothing to do with what Steve Austin is. They're just sort of, oh, wow, there's a gimmick, the Million Dollar Man. I'll take that one, you know. And it's just sort of a soulless impersonation. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we can all say, too, fairly well, is that unless your name is The Rock, your acting isn't good enough.
Yes. Thank you.
Really?
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, if you do something that's out of your comfort zone, it just really makes it tough these days.
Right.
Because, yeah, their athletic ability is more important.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I guess to go back to Daniel Bryan, that got him on there.
Yeah.
But it took him a while to find himself.
Right. Yeah, you find your own voice as a wrestler.
And, yeah, like, I mean, you can't really change EC3's gimmick quite yet just because it's still so fresh in TNA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what else you'd, you know, I don't know how
well,
he can turn it around in the meantime.
The onus is on him to change it slightly over time, like The Rock did while he was in the Nation of Domination. You sort of, you take what you're given and you sort of put your own stamp on it, and it changes over time. And that's the true test for Ethan Carter now, he has to put his own stamp on it, find his own voice in that character. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it because he's just not talented enough.
Yeah, and I'll go with back to the two examples at the beginning there. Jay Lethal and AJ Styles is that they've had basically one voice. They haven't changed anything.
Yes. AJ Styles is the perfect example of someone who's been faceless pretty much his entire wrestling career.
Yeah, I don't think, unless you really put yourself through that, that it's going to happen in TNA. Like, there's not enough of that pressure cooker mentality that, wears some people out in the WWE, maybe CM Punk, but...
Right.
It also makes somebody that gets Michigan State crowds to start doing a yes chant.
Exactly. Right. That's really cool to see because I know that's Jeremy's favorite team, too. He loves Michigan State. What?
Oh, man.
I'm just checking to see if he's listening, that's all.
Well, hopefully he'll make a comment to one of us at some point.
Okay.
Well, is there anything sticking in your craw that needs to be talked over?
I don't know. I mentioned the Kevin Durant quote, which I just found silly. The other basketball-related thing is that the trade deadline just came and passed, and the biggest trade item was Spencer Hawes. So, you know, nothing really of note happened when Spencer Hawes is the biggest name getting traded. And I should note that that's 2 years in a row where the biggest trade entity was a white guy. So, last year it was J.J. Redick to the Bucks, so they could make sure they get a playoff spot so they could lose to the Heat in 4 games. I don't understand that logic. And now This year it's probably the same thing. The Cavs with Spencer Hawes might be just good enough to make that last playoff spot and lose to the Heat in 4 games. So this could be a little bit of history repeating. So that's all I got there. Spencer Hawes is a bitch, by the way. He's a fucking cunt. He went to Sacramento once wearing a Seattle Sonics hat, so fuck that guy.
Yeah. I guess my trade deadline got held off a little bit because of these fine Winter Olympics and hockey, the NHL's participation therein.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the 5th, I believe, so.
Okay.
And the only heartbreaking, I watched Pitt lose to Syracuse, I believe it was last week.
Yeah.
And that was pretty brutal to watch a guy come down and chuck up like a 25-footer and put it in for the win.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I still just haven't watched that much pro. And I was going to have on the basketball game, actually, as we did the show. But TNT was, the feed was all jacked up on my TV for one reason or another.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because it's already another game now.
Right. Yeah.
Because even though I suppose I don't mind the ice skating, it's just really not my bag. My mother made me watch it all the time as a child and young man. And though I may have gotten one of my first crushes from it, that being Katarina Witt.
Preach! Absolutely.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. Did LeBron go down with an all broken nose?
Woo.
That's a big schnoz to break.
A surfboard up there? The big old surfboard, yeah.
Oh, man. Okie dokie. Well,
right.
I guess since we can't think of anything else and we're just babbling at this point, we can go ahead and wrap this thing up with at Stunt Granny, at Frango11, at Granny Maze, at Stunt at Stunt Dusty. Good Lord.
There you go.
Gmail, comments, Facebook. Oh, everywhere you see us, we'll be there.
That's right.
And I'm going to go have a sippy time beer and let you wrap this puppy up.
All right. Remember, we love your comments, so just give us some comments. Tell us how we're doing, as long as you tell us we're doing good. And for Kevin DeFrango, I am Dusty Giebink, and we will try to do better next time.
Yeah.